This is a very familiar story. Jesus and his disciples had come over the sea, and as we read, when they came to shore, there met him out of the tombs a wild man, a man that lived in the graveyard, so to speak. And as we read further in the story, as Jesus came, the devils cried out to him, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For Jesus had said, he said, "Hey, I know there's devils in you." And to the devils he said, "Come out of the man. Come out of the man." And you know the story. They said, "Please don't send us out of the country." And there was a herd of pigs not too far. And they asked Jesus to send them into the pigs. And he gave them permission, the legion of devils that was in this man, to go into the pigs. And the Bible says that the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000 and were choked or drowned in the sea. Now, before I get to my sermon tonight, let me just point out there's a difference between mankind and animal kind. There was 2,000 devils in this man. I say that because I think every pig had a devil. There were 2,000 swine. And yet, this man, with the help of God, was able to resist the devils and not kill himself. And yet, when one devil went into a pig, they all ran down that steep place into the sea, committed mass suicide, and died. You see, God gives even the unsaved, even those that don't know him, he protects them and gives them an opportunity to come into contact with the Savior and know him and be saved. Somebody asked me one time, "You think those people ate the pigs after they all drowned?" I don't know. If they did, it was a big barbecue. I don't know. Now, tonight, here's what I want to do real quick. And I have 15 minutes, and I think I can get done in 15 minutes. I want to look at four things the devils that were in that man did to him. And my point tonight is, he'll do the same thing to us. You see, there's a battle going on in us. Adam, stand up over there, and Nick, you come over here and help me. You stand up over there, okay, would you? All right, so here I am. I'm a Christian, and I get saved, but there's a battle going on because I have two forces pulling at me. I have the devil and the old nature. I have my new nature and the Holy Spirit. And the devil in the old nature, it wants me to just head in his direction. Wants me to do things that are displeasing to God. Wants me to do things I know I shouldn't do as a Christian. And then I have the Holy Spirit and that new nature that God has given me when I got saved. And they're pulling me in the other direction. They're pulling me toward the Bible. They're pulling me to come to church. They're pulling me to do the things that are right, that God wants me to do. And I have to decide. We get to decide which direction we're going to pull in. I mean, we get to decide whether we're going to let the Holy Spirit pull on us and draw us closer to him, or we're going to decide if we're going to let our old nature and Satan pull at us. Now, he'll never pull at us to lose our salvation. Amen? Once we've asked Jesus to be our Savior, we're saved forever. Nothing we can do, nobody can do to take that away from us. But how we live our life is determined by which force we give over to. Okay, thank you, guys. And Satan did some things to this man that he still doing to mankind today, and if we're not careful, we'll be pulled in the direction of the old nature and do these things, and they're displeasing to God. So here they are, four things that the devil did to this man, four things that he tries to do to us today. Number one is to take our clothes off. This man was naked. This man ran through the tombs, and in verse 15, when the people came out to see him, and they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legions setting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. The fact that they saw him clothed indicate to me that before these legions came out of him, he didn't have any clothes on. And it's not surprising to me, because what God is for, Satan is against. And I'll tell you tonight, God is for us dressing, being decent. God is for us looking like we belong to Him. He showed that in the Garden of Eden when He covered Adam and Eve's nakedness. Again, it was a picture of salvation, but He showed us there that He expected us to be decent in our dress. You go back and you read in the Bible, there's illustration after in the Bible that God is for us being decent. You go back to when Moses got the Ten Commandments up on Mount Sinai. You remember he stayed so long, the people wondered what happened to him. And they went to Aaron, his brother, and said, hey, you need to make us gods because we don't know what happened to Moses. He's been gone so long. And you know the story Aaron told. He said, well, I just had everybody give me their gold. I threw it into the fire and out popped this calf. That's about as ridiculous as the Big Bang Theory. About as ridiculous as this world just came into existence without the Creator. I mean, it tells us in the chapter before that He took the gold, melted it, and with an engraving tool made the calf. But you go back and you read that story when Moses came down, it says in Exodus chapter 32, and Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. When people turn away from God and they start listening to the devil, they're going to be indecent in their dress. Same thing happened to the disciples. Remember what happened when Jesus was crucified and His disciples a few days after the crucifixion were full of doubt. They did not know what had happened. They did not understand what had happened yet. And Peter got up and said, hey, I'm going fishing. And many of the disciples went fishing with him. And the Bible says they fished all night and caught nothing. And Jesus came and stood on the shore. And He said, hey, if you cast your net on the other side of the boat, you'll catch some fish. And they did that. And John was in the boat with Peter, and he said, Peter, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. And the Bible says, now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked. You say, well, preacher, it never happened to me. Look, if it could happen to Simon Peter, it could happen to you and me. The further we get away from God, the more we'll start taking our clothes off. And it happens today. It happens to Christians. Christians get caught up, and Satan uses it. They get caught up in pornography. They get caught up in dirty magazines. They get caught up in the internet. Listen. Keep your clothes on. Be decent. Dress the way. Here's what somebody told me. I had a Sunday school teacher one time tell me when I was 12 years old. He said, you ought to dress like that you'd be pleased if Jesus came to wherever you were and saw you dressed. That's the way you ought to dress. And I think that's a good thought. That's the way we ought to dress. We ought never to dress that in a way that we would be ashamed if Jesus came into our presence and saw us the way we were dressed. So stay close to God. Keep your clothes off. On. Not off. On. I'm smelling that soup, Brother Gary. Number two. He not only takes our clothes off, He takes our restraints off. He takes the breaks and conscience and discipline out of our life. The Bible said that when this man was full of the demons, he was a wild man. We read it. No man could bind him. No, not with chains. Neither could any man tame him. But when Jesus cast out the demon, again in verse 15, setting and clothed in his right mind, someone had caught him. Someone had trapped him, and that someone was the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and they gave him back his discipline. They gave him back his restraints. He gave him back the ability to say no. Listen, the further we get away from God and the closer we get to the devil, the more of our restraint that we lose, the more of the discipline that we lose, the more of our conscience that we lose. We begin to say, like they did in the day of Noah, if it feels good, let's do it. And the Bible says that whatever thought came into their mind, it says, and every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And the further we get away from God, and the closer we get to Satan, here's what we say. Well, why should I be bound by these restraints? Why should I stay within these guidelines that God has given me? The grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. That's where I'm going. And the closer we get to the devil, the more we let him pull on us, the harder it is for us to say no. No. We get caught up with the crowd. We get caught up with our own desires. And so we have a world full of people today, even Christians, that don't say no. And we get caught up in the wickedness of the world. Stay close to Christ. Stay within the boundaries that he draws for you and me. You know, sometimes when I talk to parents about their kids, I said, they want boundaries from you. They want you to draw some lines around them. And they want to know that that you love them enough that when they test you and they step outside those bounds, there's going to be a penalty. There's going to be some punishment. And that's the way that, one of the ways that you prove to your children that you love them. That you're willing to discipline them, that you've drawn those boundaries around them to protect them, and you're willing to discipline them when they step outside those boundaries. Now listen, as we love our children, so God loves us. And he has given us in that book some boundaries for our life. He has drawn some lines that says, hey, if you stay within these lines, that's how you can have life, that's how you can have peace, that's how you can have joy, that's how you can live the kind of life that I've designed for you. To stay within those boundaries. And he loves us enough that when we step outside those boundaries, just like a parent that loves their children, when they step outside the boundaries, he punishes us. He disciplines us. And sometimes we chafe at it. And we wonder and we say, God, why are you doing this to me? And if we could hear from heaven, the answer would be, because I love you. I think sometimes God in heaven says the same thing to us that my dad said to me many, many times, this is going to hurt me worse than it does you. As he pulled the razor strap out of the closet. And God, did it happen to Carolyn? Did that happen? Who said that? Lori?
No.
I bet it was Carolyn talking about those two knotheads sitting in front of her, hey? But listen. God loves us enough that when we step outside of those lines, he chastises us. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. So stay close to him. Stay within the boundaries. Keep your restraints that he has given us. The closer we get to the devil, the more of them we lose. Number three, he takes our peace. He takes our peace. When this man had the demons, he was tormented. He had no peace. Verse 5, we read it. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. When Jesus cast out the demons, again, clothed, setting in his right mind, with peace, no more torment. No more running in the tombs and the mountains. No more crying. No more cutting himself with stone. He found the peace that he needed from the Prince of Peace. He found the peace that passeth understanding that came from God. Now listen, I'll tell you, the same thing's true today. We live in a world that's tormented. People that live in this world have no peace. They try to find it in a lot of different things. They take drugs, they drink, they try pleasure, they try riotous living, they try possessions, they try status, and they get to the end of it all and they say like Solomon did, it's vanity and vexation of spirit. There is no peace. I want to tell you something tonight, and you all know it. Most of you know it. Most of us are Christians here tonight. I realize that. We do not find peace in a pill. We do not find peace in pleasure. We do not find peace in position. We find peace in a person, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in John chapter 14, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You stay close to God, you stay close to Jesus, and you'll have his peace. So what does Satan do? He leads us to take our clothes off. He leads us to take our restraints off. He takes our peace. And then number four, if we'll let him, he takes our life. Jesus is life. Satan is death. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Satan doesn't want us to have any of that. Every day, listen to me, every day that this man was possessed with the devil, he had to fight the urge to end his life. Every day, he fought that urge that came from those devils to end his life. The pigs couldn't fight it. And they all ran down the steep place into the sea and drowned. And by the way, notice what it says. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. I mean, they just didn't walk. They ran to end their life. They ran violently, which means they ran as fast as they could to kill themselves. That's what Satan wants for every single person that's born on this earth. He wants to end our life physically. He wants to end our life spiritually. He wants to take what God intended for us to have, and he wants to take it from us. You ever wonder why the rate of suicide is climbing and why it's happening so much at younger ages? I read a couple weeks ago about a little boy, 8 years old, in England, over in England. He had a fight with his girlfriend, who was 7. He killed her and then shot himself. See, that's what Satan wants. Satan will take our life. He has no qualms about it. And if it wasn't for the help of God and the protection of God that he gives to people even before they get saved, it would be more and more. But it's happening more and more in our day and time because the world is getting closer and closer to the devil and further away from God. All these people say, well, it didn't make a difference that we took prayer out of school. It didn't make a difference that, you know, we're trying to take God out of everything. Yes, it does. Take God out, and what you have left is the devil. And what the devil does, he's been doing since the beginning of time, and what the devil does, he will continue to do to the end of time. And he wants to take our life. He wants to take our spiritual life. Only one way to avoid it. Come to the one that is life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now listen, if you're here tonight and you don't have that life, Satan's got you. You say, well, preacher, I don't do any of those things you talked about. Well, praise God that you don't. He's helping you to fight the devil. But sooner or later, the devil's going to get you. Sooner or later, the devil's going to take you out of this world and into hell. And the only way you can avoid it is to come to Jesus. Every single one of us was born with a sin nature. Every single one of us came to a point in our life where we made a decision to sin. That made us a sinner. That's put us under the condemnation and the judgment of God. The wages of sin is death. Most of us here tonight had a time in our life where we came to Jesus. And we told him that we knew that we were a sinner, and we asked him to save us, and he gave us life. But you may be here tonight, you never had a time like that. You may never had a moment where you asked Jesus to save you. Tonight, could I urge you to do it? Would you do it right now? Would you just say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know there's a penalty for that sin. And I believe that you died on Calvary's cross for me, and I want you to save me. Nothing magical about those words. What's magical, and it's not magical at all, but what needs to be done is for you to realize that you're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin, and only Jesus can save you. Again, I told you about John's brother and Leonard's brother in the hospital. Some of you weren't here this morning for Sunday school, but it didn't look like he was going to live. And I had the opportunity to sit down with him on Tuesday morning before they hooked him up to everything and ask him. I said, Harold, I'm praying for you to live, but if you don't, are you ready? He said, I'm ready. I said, well, have you been saved then? You say you're ready. Have you been saved? Tell me about it. And he said, no, I'm ready to get ready. And I said, amen. Let me tell you how. I said, hey, you know, you're a sinner. And he smiled, looked up at me, and nodded his head. And I said, there's a penalty for that sin. But Jesus paid the price. He paid the price for your sin. He took it all, bare it himself. And if you'll ask him, he'll save you. And I said, do you think you should ask him? He said, I think I should ask him right now. I said, well, let's pray. Can I help you pray? And he said, yeah, you can help me pray. And I was going to voice a prayer for him and just ask him to pray after me. But as I told you this morning, before I could open my mouth, he started praying. He said, I know I'm a sinner. Jesus, I need you to save me. I need you to save me right now. And I believe he did. I believe he did. Same thing can happen to you right now. Doesn't matter what you say. You just need to somehow tell him that you know that you're a sinner and you need a Savior. And you believe he's the only one that will work. Would you say that prayer? You can say it right where you're sat. You don't have to come up here. It'd be nice if you did, that you came up here and told us so that we could rejoice with you and be happy with you. But tonight, I urge you, if you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, do it right now. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you how simple it is and what it teaches us. And I pray that we would heed it tonight. I pray if there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ, right where they sit, they would just ask Jesus to be their Savior. I pray, Father, they come in a minute if they do it, and let us rejoice with them. I pray for the many Christians that are here. I pray, Father, that we, as the Holy Spirit tugs on us and as our own nature tugs on us, that we would yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit. We would move in his direction. And we would let our life be characterized by the things that would be pleasing to you. So speak to us. If there's something in our life that shouldn't be, help us to see it and help us to get rid of it with your help. Bless this time of invitation. Use it as you see fit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.